Well, we want to get back into our studies in the book of Romans again. And I want to begin in Romans chapter 8. You know, it's really interesting when you have been so seemingly familiar with a passage of Scripture, when you start digging into it in depth, you say, uh-oh. I hadn't thought about that. I hadn't considered that. I need to work on that a little bit. And that seems to be the case in my own thoughts as I was looking in Romans 8:1. I'm not struggling too hard, but anyway, it was just some interesting things that came up as I was looking at this verse. And so I want to read Romans 8:1 and through verse 4. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sent His own Son in the weakness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. In verse 1, it talks about those that are in Christ Jesus. He's talking to saved people. He's talking to those that know the Lord or have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And so when I see the word in Christ, I associate it with the body of Christ. In Romans 12:4-5, it says, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members not have the same office, so we..." The word "being" is in italics, being translated or being added by the translators. So it says, "So we, the many," and I believe that the many here is a reference to many that have been called unto His kingdom in glory. The many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. And there are many members in the body of Christ. And the many that have been called unto His kingdom in glory is just one member of that body. So in Christ has to do with those that have been saved. Then in verse 1 it says, "There is now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." A lot of people read this verse without the word "now." I don't know, you just have to listen to when you hear people on the radio preaching and speaking about this verse. They just say, "There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus." The implication is this, that if there is no condemnation to those that are saved, you will never have to answer for any unconfessed sin. Wrong. Error. There is now no condemnation. That is, today there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ. And I want to deal with that. Because I know from Hebrews 10:30, the Lord shall judge His people, and it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of the living God. There is coming a day of judgment for the people of God, and it's a fearful thing to get caught. That's what it means to fall into the hands of the living God. I mean, He's got you and you can't get away. Okay? But there is now no condemnation. Now hopefully I can help us to understand why there is now no condemnation. Well, let me just give you a little bit of a indication. Condemnation has to do with sentencing. There is no question about the fact that we are being judged by God daily of whether or not we sin or not. He knows that. But you know what? He hasn't sentenced us. us based upon that sin. In other words, there is no loss of necessarily loss of rewards, or we are not in outer darkness, nor are we in prison right now. So when it says we are not sentenced today, that's true. And another thing too to keep in mind is this: Jesus Christ is not my judge today. Who is Jesus Christ today? My high priest. He's the one interceding on my... He's my attorney. I'd hate to have an attorney that was going to condemn me. Wouldn't you? I'd want an attorney that'll plead my cause. Or you know what I mean? And that's what he is doing today. And he pleads our cause according to the will of the Father and our confession of sin. So that's what we're dealing with here. Because also in verse 1 is the word therefore, which is a conjunction. And this conjunction ties back into chapter 7. And what did we find in study in chapter 7? The conflict of our flesh with sin. And so what he's saying is this, well, it says in Romans 7:19, "For the good that I would do, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." So you can see the struggle that Paul had with sin. Verse 24 of chapter 7. "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." So there's a struggle, and we have that struggle. And you know what? I don't know about you, but when I'm thinking about living for the Lord and serving the Lord, and I've got things that are not going right, you know, I got a bad cold, or I got a pain here, or you know what I mean, your imagination starts running riot, and you think God's sitting up on the throne waiting for you to sin, and he's going to squash you. He's not doing that. He's not doing that. He's not condemning us. He's not sentencing us. We need to know that. You know what? If you're living like you're going to be squashed every time you make a wrong move, you're going to be defeated. I often think about these big science fiction movies, you know, and this astronaut's got this great big panel in front of him, and he's got all these meters and these dials, and you're sitting in there twisting those knobs to get all those needles lined up so that God won't squash you. You see what I mean? That's what I'm talking about. In other words, you're trying to get everything lined up in your life where God does not come down on you, and God's not doing that. The Lord's long-suffering. The Lord is patient. He wants you to win. He doesn't want you to lose. Okay? So, I can read in 1 Corinthians 15:57, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." You want victory in your life? And by the way, the word "giveth" is not an event. It's not in the aorist tense. It's an ongoing thing. He is giving us the victory. All we need to do is go to him as our high priest and obtain the forgiveness and the grace. You got to have mercy. I think of the publican who went to the temple to pray, and he said, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." Now this publican, as far as I'm concerned, was a saved man. And by praying to have mercy upon him, he went down to his house justified You know what that means? He could not be charged. Because that's what justification is. Justification is not being charged. He went down to his house and there was nothing against him as far as he and his God was concerned. And that's what it means to obtain mercy and to find grace, the strength and the power of God. Now, the word now in Romans 1:8, there is therefore now no condemnation. The word now means present. It's a primary particle of present time. And we see how it is used in Romans 8:18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which will be revealed in us. It's the same word. So it's now, meaning in this present time, there's no condemnation. Okay? And the word no is an interesting word. It is a one powerful no. I just want you to get that. There's ooh, and there's me, and then there is this no. Okay? Emphatic no in the compound, not even one condemnation now, in this present time. Not even one. Why? Because He is our high priest, preparing us against the day when we could receive condemnation. And let me tell you, the condemnation comes at the judgment seat of Christ. At the great white throne judgment. That's when the condemnation comes. Okay, let's go on. Well, let me just touch on the word nothing. This word emphatic no, not even one, is found in 1 Timothy 6:7. So you can relate to this. For we brought nothing into this world. When you were born, you didn't have a purse, you didn't have a sack of goodies. You had nothing. And that's what it's talking about. That's the same nothing. Not even one thing you brought into this world. And you're sure not going to carry anything out. I don't care. They can dress you up in a tuxedo and put you in the box. And you know what? You 100 years from now, you dig that box up, you find that tuxedo right in there, and a little soil. You will carry nothing out. Now, condemnation. The word condemnation is only used 3 times in the New Testament, and they're all in Romans. No condemnation to them that are in Christ. In Romans 5:16, we find it. And not as it was by one that sinned, so even is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. The point is this. Adam sinned. He was judged. And what was his judgment? You're out. You've lost it all. You don't get to get back into the Garden of Eden. You're no longer in charge. The ground isn't going to give in. You're going to sweat and work to get what you're going to eat. That's the condemnation. That's the judgment. Another place you find it, the same thing, the same idea, is in verse 18 and 5. Therefore, by the offense of one, upon all men to condemnation. You know, it wasn't just Adam that got that. We all are in that condemnation. Now, the Lord did back off a little bit after Noah, after the flood. Okay? The ground began to give a little more in the harvest. But you know what? The weeds still grow well. You still need a hoe to chop those weeds. And so therefore, but this shows you how the word condemnation is used. It's used in the sense that Adam was judged. He sinned and he received condemnation. It's a result or a sentence. Now, Condemnation. It's the sentence of judgment. I think of condemnation in the sense of the Lord shall judge His people, which you've already commented upon already. That judgment will not take place now. We are not at the judgment seat of Christ now. But if you read in 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in our body according to that He had done, whether it be good or bad. And the receiving is the condemnation or the commendation. The condemnation is, depart from me, ye workers of lawlessness. I never knew you. Weeping in outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth, because you're a slothful servant, unprofitable servant. You didn't do what I asked you to do. And so therefore, and there is a commendation of, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, condemnation or commendation is coming. But it's not today. And because of the context, sin is in the context because of chapter 7 is where the condemnation part of it, I believe, comes in. But let's continue. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 and through 25. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. Notice inheritance and reward go together. For you serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. The condemnation has to do with doing wrong. You're serving the Lord, you're either going to do right or you're going to do wrong. And if you do wrong, you've got a problem in the day of judgment, not today. Loss of reward. Every man's work, 13 through 15. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If a man's work shall abide, work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. But if any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as through fire. The suffering of loss is part of the condemnation. Receiving a reward is commendation and approval. Now, we need to appreciate the fact that Jesus Christ is our high priest today and not our judge. In Romans 8:34, it says, who is he that condemneth? By the way, the word condemneth is the verb form of condemnation. Condemnation is a noun. A condemneth is the verb. And he that condemneth, who is he that condemneth? Well, we know that the devil condemns us. He's by the Lord accusing us all the time. Look at him, Lord. Look what he's doing. And you know what? We're condemning ourselves all the time. And another thing, too, is that other people are condemning us for not being politically correct or whatever. You know, I was condemned when I was in the Navy when a guy told me, he says, look at you, you're drinking a Coca-Cola. He condemned me. So, because you know why he said that? He says, you're drinking that Coca-Cola offends me. And you're not supposed to offend your brother. You know, crazy stuff like that. Obviously, I took another swig and went on my way. Though I didn't really want to, I didn't know that he was my brother because I couldn't tell that he was. Anyway, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. far as condemnation is concerned, it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ is more important than His death. Now, His death allows us to be in the family, but it's His resurrection that will keep us from being condemned, will keep us from the condemnation. And He is at the right hand of God, and He is making intercession on our behalf. Now, He's making intercession on our behalf. He is making intercession according to the will of the Father for us, but He's also making intercession for us on the sin issue in our life. He's working on that as we are working on that. We'll get to it in just a second here. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says, if we should judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. One of the things that we need to understand about condemnation is this. While we're not under condemnation today, but we can still judge ourselves that we will not one day come under condemnation. But if we are slow in judging ourselves, then there are times when the Lord has to chasten us. Now, I don't associate chastening of the Lord with condemnation. Chastening is forcing me to do things I don't want to do. When I went on active duty, the United States Navy made me do things it wanted me to do. And if I didn't do what they said to do, I had to pay. And so the Lord chastens us. If we struggle in judging ourselves. And the way we judge ourselves is in 1 John chapter 1 verses 7 through chapter 2 verse 1. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ His Son cleanses us from all sin. Now, walking in the light allows the light to do what for us? Judge what we're doing. The light that we see helps us to judge whether to step over that hole or not, or to walk around an obstacle or not. So the light of His Word helps us to know or to judge our behavior and our walk with Him. And if we are, and it also allows us to see how far ahead He is. He might get too far ahead, so we need to have fellowship with Him. We need to make adjustments in our life a little quicker sometimes because we're lagging behind. But anyway, that's adding to this. But we need to have fellowship with Him. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from sin. And if the blood cleanses us from sin, that time of condemnation will not come for those sins. Verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's when condemnation will come. When we start saying we don't have a sin, we haven't sinned. And let me tell you, there are people that say, I haven't sinned in, 40 years. I heard them in meetings, and when I was in the Navy up in Maine, I went to a buddy's church, and that's all I heard. One testimony after another. One was outdoing the other one. I hadn't sinned in 23. Well, I hadn't sinned in 40. Well, I hadn't, the teenagers couldn't quite say that many years. Anyway, but if we say we haven't sinned, we deceive ourselves. And let me tell you, we can deceive ourselves. If we confess our sins, confession of sin is admitting guilt. We don't ask God to forgive us. That's not what this verse is telling us. This verse is telling us to confess. You know what? Today, If a man confesses that he murdered somebody, is there a trial? Maybe in a murder case it would be. But if a man confesses that he was driving while drunk, is there a trial? No. There's no trial. So we're admitting guilt. And you know what? If we admit this sin is a sin and we're guilty of that sin, He's going to pardon us. We have His promise. We have His word on that. He is faithful and just to forgive. That's a promise of pardon. But if you don't confess your sin, and let me just throw this in for good measure, and if you don't forgive your brother's sin, you're not going to be forgiven. And you're going to have to deal with that. Forgiving your brother's sin is very important, because if you don't, your Father, your Heavenly Father, is not going to forgive you your sin either. Okay? Now, if we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. My little children, chapter 2, verse 1, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. An advocate is an attorney. An advocate is one is a go-between. An advocate is a priest. He intercedes on behalf of the worshiper and with God. That's the way it was in the temple and in the tabernacle. But one thing that we need to understand is this. The Lord can chasten us, and it's for our good. And I want to bring this out. Chastening of the Lord is not condemnation, okay? Chastening of the Lord is encouraging us to do right. Hebrews 12, 5-7. And ye have forgotten the exhortation that speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For when the Lord loveth, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. You know what? When you're disciplined, you know one thing? The Lord loves you. If He's not dealing with you and chastening you, there's a problem there. I'm not going to judge the degree of love that God has for His child, but the point is this. It says here that the Lord chastens, the Lord loveth, whom the Lord loveth, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives or receiveth. So there is going to be chastening, but that's not condemnation. That's discipline to get you to behave, to get you to do the right thing. And sometimes the chastening is tough, scourge. And if you're scourged, from what I understand, you bleed a little. Okay? You can bleed. And there's some people that don't have time to bleed, but let me tell you, brother, you better have time to bleed when it comes to scourging of the Lord. You need to endure it. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Lord chasteneth not? And everyone who is qualified to rule and reign has had to go through discipline. But let me just again reiterate the fact that going through chastisement or discipline is not condemnation. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, but long-suffering toward us, not willing that any of us should perish, that we should change, repent. And I'm going to close with Revelation 3:19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. And this is not the whole earth. This is not the world, quote unquote. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. What should we be doing? We should be zealous. zeal, excited, focused on what? Change, repenting. Because he says it later on, he says that you'll be an overcomer. I'm going to let you sit down with me and we'll rule over this earth together. We'll rule, we'll sit with him in his throne. May the Lord help us to appreciate the fact that there's no condemnation today, but there's one that's coming if we do not repent as a child of God. And next Sunday, Lord willing, we'll pick up on walking after the flesh and the Spirit. This ought to be interesting for all of us as we study that lesson. Father, I just thank you that we can judge ourselves, that we be not judged. I just thank you, Father, that that you chasten us and scourge us to encourage us to make changes in our life that will honor and glorify Thee. We pray that you'd bless the message to each of our hearts this morning, and may it glorify you, Father, in the Son, for it is in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.